Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Where healing begins with you, and we're here to support you along the way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Thanks for joining our conversation today. Thank you for being with us, especially as we're going to be treading on some, I think, some mama heart emotions, because we're talking about children now and attachment. And I just want to validate all the mama hearts out there who really are in this maybe scared, worried, protective parts that come when you see your children being impacted in the situation around betrayal trauma or abuse and even or divorce, separation, all of these things that you all are dealing with. We all know that our children in some shape or form are being impacted. And how does this relate to attachment? How can we support our children and be that secure attachment? That's what we're talking about today. And it really isn't going to be a long one, I don't think, Alana, because at least for me, it boils down to you, not so much your kids. So you might be thinking you're going to get a lot of tips and tools for your kids. But when we're talking about attachment, I think ultimately the message we've been giving over the last few weeks is this comes back to you and about you.
I just had this random thought. Sorry, I might get us totally sidetracked, but I promise I'll try to bring it back around. But there is this woman on TikTok who had a video that went viral, and she was talking about, as an adult, her adult son came to her and basically said, "Mom, you got to do some therapy or I'm not going to be around you anymore." And how it rocked her world. And so she went to therapy with this idea of, okay, you tell me how I can change my son's mind because I don't want to lose my son. And in therapy, she actually started to discover how much trauma she had and how her own trauma was impacting her ability to have a relationship with her son and for her to be a safe place for him to come to. And so now she has this platform where she speaks to other parents of her age and generation that say, go do your work. If your children are cutting you off, it is not because they want to be away from you per se, like at their root, they really do want relationships with their parent, but for whatever reason, they don't feel like they can. So go do your trauma work. And so as we're talking about attachment and we're talking about how do I have this safe, secure attachment with my child, it's not how do you attach to your child. It's how do you be a safe, secure person so your child can come attached to you?
Bingo.
You are the anchor, and you can't do that unless you do your work and you get to a place that you're okay. And it's okay if you're not there today. But that's what we're working towards.
That is the goal. Yes, I love that. And just like we said in the very first episode talking about attachment, the goal is to become secure. The goal is to have a secure attachment. The goal is to become that for yourself first, so that if other people want to be in a relationship with you, you provide that foundation, that beautiful foundation of anchored roots already, not, oh, shoot, I'm flailing around and now let me anchor onto you. It has to start with you first in so many ways. We were talking about this before we hit record, Alana, but I think one of the things that I see, and I will just throw myself into this too, I don't escape this experience, but we as moms, I often see when there's the fear of losing your child, when there's fear of abandonment, when there's fear of more loss, like I've already lost this, I cannot bear to lose my children in this either. It can go two ways, but I often see it go to this boundaryless state where I'm afraid that if I implement rules, limits, or boundaries with my kids, then it will push them further away and I will lose them. And I cannot bear to lose one more person in my life. So first, I want to validate how real that fear is. And also, I'll speak for myself. And sometimes when I see this with clients, underneath that is still an anxious attachment because I am trying to hustle and hold on and do, be, fix, solve, in order to get this person to attach to me. And that ultimately does the opposite of what we're wanting. So boundaries, when we talk about boundaries and we talk about limits, rules with kids and helping them mature, helping them stay safe to their external, it still ultimately starts with you being safe internal. And when you're parenting out of fear, out of worry, out of the sense of control, it's not going to be sustainable. You might notice that things work for a little bit, but in my experience, it's not sustainable. It won't hold on very long.
That's really good. And I think about this idea, we have to learn how to self-regulate. And when we can learn how to self-regulate, we're able to better recognize what emotions are coming up. And when we go through trauma, even if you were able to self-regulate before trauma, sometimes that can just send that into absolute turmoil. So learning or figuring out how to emotionally regulate in the middle of crisis, in the middle of your trauma, is part of that foundational work. And that doesn't replace co-regulation. Co-regulation is still a beautiful, healthy thing that we can have with people around us, and we need that and we want that. But that learning how to truly self-regulate is not only a developmental skill that we get through life, but it's something often we have to relearn how to do in the middle of going through trauma. And when you talked about this acting out of the fear or worry, I see the definite over-control.
Yeah.
Too many boundaries, or I see the under-control of not enough. And either of those extremes, and I'll just say extremes in any way, too much love to where you're smothering your child or you're making them a surrogate partner is trauma on a child and will have long-lasting negative consequences. If you put them as a surrogate spouse, or you're dumping all your emotional stuff on them, or you're not giving them room to individualize, that's traumatic and will impact them. But if you emotionally neglect them and you're like, hey, you're on your own, I can't be there for you, so you figure it out, either of those extremes are going to be really problematic. And so learning, again, how to regulate that fear, that worry, you come to that center place, you get grounded and anchored, then allows you to navigate better how you can be that safe place and how you navigate for your child that balance.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing that up. And I've experienced this in two different ways. Number one, in the relationship with my ex, but I noticed it most after I separated and we were going through the whole divorce thing, that when I was triggered by his behaviors, my ex's behaviors, when I was triggered, even when he was my husband in the relationship, I noticed that that response that I had, that fear, would then get put onto my children. So if I saw the slightest bit of similar behavior or attitude or demeanor in my child that I saw in my partner, I would lump them into one person, one category. And so I was now finding myself responding to my child with this fear that I had in my partnership. Does that make sense? And so that is one thing that I think is also really important. We're talking about attachment, is to remember that when you are dealing with your child and you have experienced betrayal, trauma, and abuse, divorce with your partner, they are separate things. Mm-hmm. Relationship with your partner is different than the relationship with your child. And different types of attachment with partner versus child. So when we're talking about secure in the last few episodes with partner, we are talking about a different type of security with child. And one of the ways that you can really be that secure place is to differentiate between the two. The behavior, we cannot lump them together. We did a whole series about this, children and pornography. But when you see your child struggling with pornography, masturbation, or some of the similar behaviors, same thing. And I know that this is hard. I get it. And cannot approach it the same, view it the same, or even worry the same. We really do have to show up differently. And again, I just want to validate how hard that is. It's so hard, but so important to understand the difference.
Well, it comes back to this idea of with your partner, it's this shared back and forth. We're on an equal plane. But with your child, no matter if your child is 30 and you're 60, or your child is 3 and you're 30, or whatever age you are the parent.
Yeah. So the parent is the anchor.
The parent is the one who stays anchored, stays solid, and creates that safe place for the child to come to and be able to come to and then branch away and go explore the world. Come to, branch away, and go explore the world. There's this quote I love. I kept on my wall forever. You'd think I'd remember it. But the essence of it is something along the lines of, when your child is in chaos, the greatest gift you can give them is to share your calm instead of joining their chaos. And so when we're going through trauma, that was one thing I actually held on to of kind of carrying me through the hard, is I have to do my work and I have to figure this out because I want to be the parent that my children need. And when I initially was going through my trauma, I couldn't be. And so that was motivation to me to get my butt into therapy and to do the workbooks and to show up to group and to journal, because I hate to journal. It was such motivation to me to keep putting one foot in front of the other, because I had these little people who needed someone to be calm and be an anchor when the rest of the world felt chaotic, even if they didn't know exactly what was going on. Their barometers, they could feel the pressure in the house. And it didn't mean that I put on a show and I pretended, because that wouldn't have felt real, but it allowed me to be authentic, but be a grounded, anchored spot for them that they could bring their heart to.
Yeah, I love that. One note I wrote down when you were talking about the too much or too little, those extremes, and how we're trying to practice the balance. The balance doesn't mean perfect.
Yes.
Balance includes repair. So when you get it wrong, balance is acknowledging it, owning it, revisiting it, repairing it, being vulnerable around it. That is balance. So too much, too little, that's where the perfect, right? I see that too much of like, let me try to be the perfect mom so that I don't lose them, so that they don't abandon me or whatever that fear is. That's where the perfection lies. But this balance is actually owning your imperfection and knowing you will get it wrong and that you are capable of repairing. And we say all the time, the power is in the repair. So I want to give that visual to this balance that we're talking about. The balance isn't right all the time.
Luke has been reading this attachment book and he always brings me these nuggets. And he told me this one the other day and he took it back to his group of men. He said, okay, guys, how often do you think that we get it wrong or we send a signal with attachment that is not helpful? How frequently? And he had everyone put a guess in. I mean, it was like 6 months, 1 month. One guy even said like once a week. Maybe a guy said once a day. And he said 17 seconds. Every 17 seconds is what their research showed, that there's some kind of signal that says that I left for a second. So it's not a matter of if. You will constantly have things come up where you're not going to be perfect or always completely engaged. That's not the goal. That's not the purpose. It's that we're trying with consistency. And a parent who knows how to apologize and own their stuff is, I want to say the greatest gift, but there's a lot of things that are great gifts. But seriously, learning how to apologize as a parent tells your child that they get to be real and imperfect and human, and it allows this beautiful bond and connecting for the two of you.
It's transparent, it's vulnerable, it breeds empathy, because when you put yourself in that vulnerable state of, I got it wrong, now when they get it wrong and you say, I get it, they believe you. So that empathy factor is there. And then trust. That's what breeds trust. I just want my kids to trust me. Trust me, I've got your back. Trust me, I'm not trying to hurt you, harm you, or make your life miserable, right?
Trying to teach you.
But if I'm approaching it from the too much, too little, I know all the themes or all the things, let you run with all of the decisions, like whatever that looks like, it doesn't breed trust. I was talking with a client, well, several clients, about the vulnerability with kids and how hard it is for some of them to be vulnerable because they don't want their kids to see the emotion because they don't want their kids to feel the responsibility of the emotion. And I think there's also a difference between showing up and saying, this is how I'm feeling, and I got my emotions. I know how to go self-regulate. I've said this to my adult children. This is how I'm feeling about your actions. And I have the tools and I'm going to go take care of my feelings. But it's also important for me to show you, to let you know how I'm feeling, because I'm not going to be able to hide it. I think there was one incident where I was like, "Oh," and you even brought that to my attention. Like, your kids know you so well, you're not going to be able to shut this down and hide it. So it's, how can I be vulnerable and stay in my control bubble with my emotions? That is the vulnerability we're talking about with children. Trying to not let them see your emotion when you're going through the hardest, most traumatic experience in your life. That's not a thing. This isn't, don't show emotion, be secure and stable and like a rock. That's not what we're saying. So that's the balance also that we're talking about. How can you feel, let them know, yep, you're sensing, you're picking up on it, and I've got my feelings. I know how to take care of them.
And if you listen to all this and you're like, how the hell do I do what you're talking about? This, having a support person, because when we're going through trauma and then we have our safe person that we can go to where we're not going to be judged, we're going to feel safe, we can let our walls down, we can be imperfect with, that becomes a secure place for us to explore this and to explore our weaknesses and our fears. And then as we do that work, they can help us navigate how to take that and then go offer that to our children. So this, especially individual work here, can be such a gift to you, which then ripples out to everybody else.
Yeah.
So this one, it's short and sweet and to the point, but we do have the four-part, I think we did four episodes, mini series on different things of working with kids. You can go see that. I'll also say Jessica Eden's, her specialty is betrayal trauma in families. Go look up some of her work. She has some great videos on that if you want to learn more about this. And then be so gentle with yourself. You're learning, you're growing. The fact that you're sitting here listening, you're trying to figure it out. Give yourself that grace and time to learn. You're not ruining your kids by figuring this out. You are on the path, and keep going with it. So, as always, thanks for hanging out with Amy and I, and we'll see you all next week.
As we've been talking about today, healing is such an inside job, which makes sense when trauma is an inside job as well. Betrayal trauma often shatters your beliefs. It absolutely creates attachment injury in yourself. The beliefs that you have about yourself, the beliefs that you have about your children and their future as well. I didn't believe that I was capable enough, worthy enough, lovable enough, and I found myself worrying so much about their future. And for a while, I remember believing that because of all of this that was going on with parents, that their future was, in a way, ruined, damaged. One of the big shifts for me was believing something different, believing that no matter what happens externally in my children's life, internally, they are capable, and I was capable of being their mother. It can be really easy to start believing things that feel so true in the moment. But the truth is, most of them are just thoughts. And this is where coaching helps you to rewire those thoughts, to think new things, to believe new things. Remember, a belief is just something that we thunk over and over and over again. It's practice. I want to help you practice thinking and believing something different that will help you start to move forward, thrive, and create that secure space for yourself and for your children. My coaching membership called Believing in You is available with both afternoon and evening sessions. You'll get weekly coaching. You'll get one-on-one coaching in between sessions. You'll get worksheets to help meet you where you're at and navigate all those different stuck points. Discount on brain spotting sessions with me as well, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes for more information and to get your spot, because I would love to help you continue to choosing to heal, choosing recovery, and of course, choosing you. Take care, everybody.